Well, we're at Horsey Manor. This is Shan Bigwood, and I'm interviewing Elaine. Elaine is known professionally as Elaine Norman. Most of us here know her as Elaine Turner, wife of Chris. Elaine, you're very much part of the Horsey scene. Can you tell us how you got involved initially, please?
Oh, I'm very, very flattered. That's very nice of you to say. I'm actually relative recent convert to Horsey. I met Chris in 1989, Chris Turner, who has been involved since the 1960s here when he was a very young man. And we got together and he started bringing me to folk things. And since I wasn't a natural camper, I didn't like being out in the cold and the wet. Horsey seemed a much better prospect to me than folk camps, which is what he'd done a lot of before. So I came along to folk events and was just totally seduced by the house, like everybody is, yeah, by the wonderful camaraderie and fun that people have here, and how it brings people together through the medium of folk music, folk singing, folk dancing, folk fun generally. And I suppose I've been to events every year since then, several events most years. Either Chris and I are running various events, or we come as guests to other people's events that we enjoy. And more recently, after I retired from my full-time job as a civil servant, I was approached to think about whether I'd like to be a trustee here. So that was at the end of 2006, and I became a trustee in the autumn of 2006 to date.
And how do you find that Horsey imposed itself upon you?
Well, I think it's this seductive thing, isn't it? I mean, we see Horsey. We live in North London, so we are 190-odd miles away from Somerset. But we see Horsey as our second home. You know, we're very comfortable here. It's not a five-star hotel. We don't pretend to be, and actually, I don't think people coming here want it to be. You want it to be a comfortable second home, that the home we'd all love to afford if we only could. You know, beautiful historic building, fabulous ambience, wonderful grounds, beautiful, beautiful grounds. And to feel very comfortable here, that you can come in, sit down to whoever else is there at table or in the lounge or in the library, sit down, start chatting to them, because it's a fellow guest in your second home. And I just think that is one of the wonderful things here, that you can join an event knowing hardly anybody when you arrive, but within a few hours of chatting, dancing, eating, drinking together, you know, you feel you've made new friends. Mm. And I think that's one of the huge selling points of Horsey.
It is that, amazing that this is a house, a country house.
Yeah. Yeah,
which we all, as you say, we would all love to live in.
Well, I think those of us who are members of Horsey Manor Society feel that it is. Yeah. We do own it between us, don't we?
Like you said, right, when my husband and I first started, we thought Horsey was our second home.
Yeah, yeah.
It just draws you in.
And I think it's very interesting. We're running an event at the moment, whilst you're interviewing me this week, called the Feb Frolics. And there is a good number of people who have not been here before. You know, at least half a dozen, if not more. And again, they're just knocked out by, I mean, part of it is the fun we're all having together, but a lot of it, and we've been very fortunate with the weather in February. It's been very sunny and bright and cold, but beautiful. And they're just, you know, loving the house, the building, the gardens and everything. And it's interesting, actually, saying there's a half a dozen new people, because that means of the 45, 46 that we've got here at the moment, 40-odd are returners, people who've been before, people who've come to lots of events, people who haven't been for a while but wanted to come to this one. You know, so that speaks volumes to me, that it's word of mouth that brings people here.
The house certainly has that effect, but it's also the people that run the courses, and you and Chris, you know, you put so much life into it.
We do our best. I mean, we're good organisers between us. We complement each other's skills. Chris is the front man who does the performances, really. But I'm kind of behind him with the shovel, as it were. You know? working on the preparation, because these things do require preparation.
Absolutely.
I mean, our events, perhaps to be clear for others listening, that our events are what I would describe as fun folk events. Whilst you're on one of our sort of courses, you'll be doing dancing, you'll be doing singing, you'll be doing music making, storytelling, games, possibly crafts sometimes. Lots of different things. You're having a taster of lots of different things. If you want to come just for a dance holiday or just for a singing holiday, this isn't it. This is a chance to have a lot of fun, but learn a bit about a lot rather than a lot about a sort of narrow subject area. And I think that's an attractive offer for people. Not everybody would want it, of course, but for people who want to just dip a toe in. One of the things that we're doing this week that listeners might be interested in is we're having a sort of music for all activity. We have a musician's workshop every morning after breakfast, and there are three groups. There's a group of people who own a musical instrument and can play it, and they're with our wonderful musician Linda Game, who's a fantastic fiddler. There's a second group who can recognise a musical instrument and might have picked one up a few times, and they're with another brilliant musician, Gareth Kiddier, keyboard player, and the rest of us, and that's about 25 of us, who are in the remedial class, as it were, with Chris Turner, and we're banging things and shaking things and strumming things and blowing plastic trumpets and things. But we're all working together on two things. One is a piece of music that each group is learning to play in its own way. And this evening there's going to be a grand performance where we all play our part. And then separately we're all doing our own party piece. So each group will have its own party piece to perform. So this means that something like 42 of us will be in the band, and the audience will comprise any of the staff who are kind enough to stay on after dinner. If the volunteers are still around from the shop, that would be fantastic. And the one or two people who decided that they didn't want to get involved. So the audience will be about six people and the band will be about 40 odd people. But my experience from last year when we did a very similar thing was that it's absolutely wonderful and actually quite moving, really, because those of us who aren't particularly musical, never played an instrument, never thought we would, feel part of this. It might sound like a cacophony to most people, but part of this musical experience, and each playing our own little part and feeling that we matter and that we're important in the piece. And it's just, wow, it's just lovely for those who've never blown a plastic trumpet before, you know.
Well, certainly working in the shop today and talking to people, that all enjoying themselves.
Oh, that's great.
So much.
That's great, yeah.
And I think this is what you and Chris bring, isn't it?
It's what we try to bring. As I say, what we do are fun folk events. You know, we are a charitable, an educational charity, so learning is important. And I'm sure lots of people come to more serious courses and learn lots and lots of things. But here, in our courses, we like to think that we're slipping some learning under the radar. So people might not think, oh, I'm sitting here and I'm learning something new. But by the fun and by having a go, working with other people, it all being humorous and entertaining, that actually they have learned something.
Absolutely. As you say, those who aren't musicians and hear someone play something on a piece of plastic.
Maybe a horrible row, but you know. Actually, it wasn't this morning. I hope we haven't peaked too soon, because this morning, our last rehearsal, it sounded great. We're doing Daisy Bell, you know, Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer to. And it just sounded great, you know.
I think this is typical of what Horsey is.
Yes.
It brings people in, brings them together, whatever their interests, whatever their needs.
Yes.
Horsey seems to provide quite a lot.
And I think we've got one or two people who are going through difficult patches in life at the moment. And, you know, getting away from home, getting away from some of their problems and troubles. And it's like a bubble here, actually, isn't it? Sometimes I think you're away from your home environment, your home stresses and strains. And although I do listen to the radio for a little while in the mornings when I'm getting ready, generally speaking, you're away from the ghastly news that's going on in the world outside, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you're in a little bubble of fun and happiness and joy, and you're away from all the horrid things going on outside. So for just a few days, you know, life can be wonderful. And I think, as I say, for the couple of people that I'm aware of who have got tricky times at the moment, that is, hopefully that will help them a little bit and bring them a bit of comfort. And that's nice, isn't it? That's really
nice. It is, and as a member of the Board of Trustees, it's good for you to know, as a trustee, you can tell the other trustees.
Yes.
Because some of them are more serious in their...
Yeah, well, I mean, being a trustee, I should put my trustee hat on here, it is a serious job. I mean, we're overseeing a business, you know, business with quite a big turnover, really. Lots of assets, lots of plans for the future, as you know. And, you know, yes, you have to be serious, but you also have to understand that we're not here to run a business. We're here to provide the folk activities. But unless we make enough money, we can't do what we want to do. We can't achieve our purposes unless we raise some money, which is important. And that's why it's very important to have a varied programme, the sort of things we do, but the sort of perhaps more serious, clever things that others do, to attract a wide range of people to come, and to attract more people to come on each of those courses and activities, getting more people here. Because the more people there are at the courses, the more courses we have, the more beds that are slept in every night, the more money Horsley will generate. And that's really important for our future.
Yes, it is. And the wider, more people in the wider circle can learn about Horsley.
Yeah. I think one of the things I would make, and this is a point I make to the trustees quite regularly, I do live in London. I very much see Horsley as our national residential centre for the folk arts. And I do understand why perhaps people who live a little closer than us see it perhaps as a Somerset or West Country asset. And of course it is. But I personally would be disappointed if we become too much of a concert venue or a place for commercial activities, because we are in business, we are a charity that's in business to promote the folk arts for the entire country.
Absolutely.
And people, I mean, the group that we've got with us this week, they're from all over, lots from the Midlands, lots from the home counties. There's a couple from Cornwall, which is actually just as far to get here as it is from London to get here. From people from all over the place. And we have been at events where there have been people from far in the northeast and the northwest. So it's remembering that and perhaps recognising the strength of having lots of local supporters like yourself who do fantastic things, and we rely on you, I know, and we really value what you're doing. But it's also balancing that against the fact that we are a national centre, and we don't want people to think, oh, you know, you can't go there because you don't live in the southwest.
No, absolutely not. It always has been a really well kept secret.
Yes, yes.
And thank goodness that Paul came along.
Yeah. Well, I think our advertising and marketing has improved hugely over the last few years. But I think it's one of those things that you can never stop. You know, you've never done it. You've never said, we don't need to do more advertising. I mean, I suppose there's two points, really. One is that there's a truism, apparently, in the marketing world, which is that only 10% of the advertising that you ever do is successful.
Mm-hmm.
But given nobody knows which 10% it is, you have to keep doing the lot.
Yes.
And then the other point, I think, which is really important, is the word of mouth principle, that hopefully the group that I've been talking about here will all go home on Friday morning and they'll all tell all their friends at their dance clubs and their song clubs, wow, we had a good time, why don't you join us next time, or why don't you come to something else. We give them leaflets in the hope that they will spread them around. But it's that constant getting things out to the world, because everybody has to come here for the first time. Some people might be lucky like me, coming with a new partner or a friend, but others, you know, if we can get to them by other means. We've done a lot more, as you were indicating, really, through you know, advertising in various folk publications. You usually now see a picture of Halsey and a list of some of the activities going on. But we've got to keep on. And, of course, with the digital age, having things on Facebook and Twitter and all these things, or certainly using people's emails to say, and, of course, that will save on postage and printing costs, which has got to be good news, hasn't it? But there will still be especially a generation of perhaps older people, not everybody's, you know, computer averse, risk not wanting to play with all these devices, but there still are a number of people who aren't online yet. Yes, so we've got to recognise that different approaches need to be used for different people, really, don't they? But it's something we've just got to keep getting better at, and we'll never stop. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. We've had a really good introductory talk, Elaine.
Thank you.
We didn't talk much about the work of the trustees, so maybe sometime in the future you may be interviewed by me or by some other person and talk about the trustees. Yeah. I don't know whether that's part of the of this.
Yes. Well, you know, just sort of just generally that, you know, the trustees, obviously we're all volunteers, and what we're concerned to be thinking about is the future development. What we've made, you know, conscious decisions about is not interfering with the day-to-day management by our highly competent and professional chief executives, formerly Paul James, who's now sadly left us, but now Crispian Cook, who joins us in May. Yes. And, you know, he's a highly competent person, has been running the theatres and arts complexes in on the South Coast. Got lots of splendid ideas for the future.
That's
what
great.
What we don't want to do is interfere with his day-to-day management, but what we need to be thinking about is, you know, where are we going in the future and how do we get there, particularly in relation, of course, to all the development work that we have you know, planned, recognizing, of course, that it's going to take us a while to achieve those objectives because we've got to raise a great deal of money,
a lot of money,
and that will take time. But at least we now know where we're going.
Yes.
You know, unless you've got a plan and a line of direction, it's very easy to go wavering off in the wrong direction, isn't it? At least now we know what we're aiming for. We can direct all our money-raising energies into that. And we can talk to other people about, you know, the benefits that it will bring, in the hope, of course, that they'll want to support us along with all our existing supporters. So exciting, if challenging, times. As the Chinese say that, don't they, isn't it? You know, unusual times or something.
Well, thank you, Elaine. That's thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. I'm very flattered to be asked. Thank you very much.